Ernie.
Yeah, take it away, Ernie.
Good evening, fellow Bat fans. How's it going? It's your Radio Vision boys. We are back. It's our 20th episode of Radio Vision. I'm John Swansong Parker, and I am talking to the Robin to my Batman, Mr. Zach Rotello. Zach, how's it going?
Turn your head and cough, Mr. Batman.
Oh, yeah. Episode 20. Let that sink in.
Yeah,
we've
seriously.
Done this 20 times, which is pretty exciting.
20 times over 50 individual episodes discussed. It's a thing. It's a real thing.
And those episodes that Zach is referring to, if you're a first-time listener, is Batman the Animated Series. We are rewatching every single episode, reviewing it, talking about it, ranking them all, talking about the fumbles, the goofs, the bloopers, but also the things that break us down, like we're eight-year-old boys to our core, you know? And it's been fun. It's been a good first experience into Radiovania, which is our flagship podcast shows, like coverage of specific television in long form, which has been pretty cool. And if you like this show and you like some of the other Radiovania stuff, or if you're curious about what that is, head over to Radiovania.com or go to YouTube and search for Radiovania to see some of the video pods that we've put up before, as well as some other audio stuff. And then if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or if you really like Batman Mask of the Phantasm and you're like, boy, have I been looking for a podcast that I can, you know, send my thoughts about Batman Mask of the Phantasm to, this is our foray into that, you know. So hit us up at radiovaniashow@gmail.com. Send us those thoughts.
Yeah.
Because
if you're wondering what you were gonna do while opening Christmas gifts in the morning, just gather the family around the tree, pop on the Radiovania Mask of the Phantasm review.
Can we print it on vinyl, you think?
Oh, a pressing. That would be the rarest episode of the show ever. It's like we auction it off for like $1,000.
Yeah, seriously.
That's actually a good idea. I don't know if a vinyl record is going to be able to fit that whole chicanery, but I love the idea.
There's no way. Yeah, there's
love
no way.
The idea.
But yeah, so like I had hinted at, Mask of the Phantasm, which is the movie that is spun out of Batman the Animated Series, is celebrating its 30th anniversary this Christmas, December 25th, 2023. Originally released in theaters, and we wanted to go big for it. So we're going to have a surprise guest. We're going to do the pod justice by recording it ahead of time and releasing it on Christmas Day.
Yes.
In order for us to have a really fun and exciting show, in addition to some of the other stuff that we typically offer, you now have officially about 1 week from today, which if this posts early next week, that's actually going to be more like 5 days to send us.
I bet I'll be able to, if I have enough time tomorrow, I'm going to publish this and maybe get it up on Sunday.
Okay. So yeah, so you will officially have 4 days from when this publishes to go to radiovisionshow@gmail.com and send us anything you want us to discuss about for Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Maybe your initial memory of seeing it, your overall thoughts of where it resides amongst Batman canon on screen, things of that nature, send those our way because we want to talk about them. So for you true
Please
blue
do.
Radiovania fans out there, we need you. Greg?
We need you. Greg.
Yeah. There are no Ninja Turtles in it, but it is good.
Batman versus the Ninja Turtles? Isn't that
there
a...
Is. That there is. That's a thing. Yep. And if you want to see whenever some of these new things get announced or whenever the episodes drop, you should definitely follow us on the social medias, on Instagram, Radiovania Show, and on Threads. Zach has been doing a fantastic job putting together really cool Instagram stories that feature the title cards of all these Batman episodes. It looks sick. So nice job there, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, man, he's down bad. Okay.
We gotta
breathe some life into him.
Inject some Batman into my veins, man. That was a really ill-timed yawn. My apologies.
No, you're
high
fine.
Energy.
You're
this is gonna be a high energy show, everybody. I promise.
Lion face. Ah, lemon face. Lion face. Lemon face. All right. So each week that we do this, we talk about three episodes of Batman the Animated Series in chronological order, as the creators determined, which is essentially the Wikipedia order, the Voodoo order, the Amazon Prime order, not the Max order. So at the end of every pod, we let you know which ones are coming next. And I'm going to let you know what we're talking about right now, so you can pause it and go watch if you haven't seen them yet. Our episodes this week, Paging the Crime Doctor, Zatanna, or Zatanna, depending on if you're from the Midwest, and The Mechanic are three episodes. So go give those a watch if you have not seen yet, because full spoilers ahead in the Batmobile. We're going to just zoom on into them. Zach.
Zooming on in.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Zooming on in. All right. Our first episode. That's what you sounded like. Zooming on in. You're like Matthew McConaughey sometimes.
Everybody loves me.
Zoom right on in. You know what I'm saying? Just drive on off. Paging the Crime Doctor, written by a plethora of people with both a story treatment and a teleplay. We got Mike Barr, Laren Bright, Randy Rogel, and Martin Pasco, and it's directed by Frank Power. Mike Barr, a longtime known comic book writer too, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Mike Barr, Laren Bright, Randy Rogel, Martin Pasco, and Frank Power. Tell me those aren't a bunch of just names that sounds like they would be sitting around in like the 40s at a poker table.
Yeah, or like they're at the meeting of the five families almost,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
In The Godfather. Our title card for this week is pretty cool, I think. It looks like an old school like horror movie almost, you know, where mm-hmm. it's like got the Casablanca type arched cursive script. And in the background, we got this creepy silhouetted doctor with holding up a syringe. You know what I mean?
For
warning us to go get your flu shot if that's what you're into.
For folks like me that are averse to medical themed horror, yeah, definitely spooky. Definitely
spooky boopity.
Spookity boopity title card right there. It's like paging the crime doctor. Mm-hmm. Stick this needle in your veins.
Did you have any director notes for Frank Power before I get started?
Yeah, we're gonna start knowing these guys by heart pretty soon. But yeah, Frank Power, director, we've talked about many an episode that this guy has directed, specifically the Batman the Animated Series. He's directed 16 episodes of the show, ranging from 1992 to 1995. Some of the episodes we've talked about so far: Be a Clown, I've Got Batman in My Basement, Vendetta, Prophecy of Doom, Mad as a Hatter, The Cape and Cow Conspiracy, The Underdwellers, The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne, Tiger
Damn.
Tiger,
Damn.
And Birds of a Feather.
Dude, this guy's like...
He's not our strongest suit.
Man, Frankie, I'm so sorry, buddy.
Love you, Frankie, but
love you long time, Frankie.
He also directed, he's a sequence director on Phantasm, directed a bunch of episodes of the animated Gargoyle series, as well as Spawn.
Oh, very cool.
And X-Men Evolution in the 2000s. So
I loved X-Men Evolution. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I saw a couple episodes back.
They made them all teenagers except for Storm and Wolverine, which is such a smart idea. That's really, yeah, because Cyclops is already insufferable, so he should just be a teenager, not a 33-year-old man that's complaining.
Yeah, it had a cool art style. I mean, I remember, you know, it was much more modern for the time. Like, it almost looked like anime.
Yeah, coming off of the popularity of the 2000 X-Men movie, too. Yeah, for sure. But, hey, we're not here to talk about those mutants. We're here to talk about crime doctors.
Yep.
All right. 2-minute plot synopsis coming at you. You ready?
Hit me.
A mobster is disguised as an ambulance opens fire and throws tear gas into an armored police vehicle. The gang steals a case out of the trunk of the armored car and drives off. Unfortunately for them, Batman is in hot pursuit. While Batman fights one goon, the other opens the case and uses a medical laser prototype within the case to fight off Batman. It's like this super laser thing. Pretty crazy. Cuts his face, or just the ear of the bat cowl. Rupert Thorne brings the laser to his brother, to his brother Matthew, a disgruntled doctor that is providing services for Thorne's gang. They begin to argue about how Matthew is fed up with having an unrespectable life as a doctor after his license was revoked for not turning in evidence, that evidence being a bullet lodged in his brother Rupert after a shootout a long time ago. Suddenly, Rupert has a heart attack and just like passes out. He's just like, he's about to fight him, and then he's just like, and then goes down. It's crazy. Leslie Tompkins, which for those of you that don't remember, is one of Thomas Wayne's former colleagues and Bruce's kind of like guardian type mentor that isn't Alfred. She runs an orphanage for Gotham children as well as medical services. But she's visited by Batman, who immediately faints on her floor. When he awakes, Leslie tells him to follow NFL concussion protocol because he got blasted with a laser. Matthew informs Rupert Thorne that he needs a heart operation, but Rupert refuses the offer if it requires an official operation at the hospital. Matthew agrees to do the operation with the kidnapped Leslie Tompkins if Rupert helps Matthew reinstate his medical license. Matthew and Thorne's goons break into Leslie's clinic and plead with her to help him with the procedure. She turns him down and is forced into going with them after a little scuffle. Through nifty detective work, Batman determines one of the men who fought him on the bridge is one of Thorne's guys. Then they discover Leslie's office trashed, and Batman finds a note written on the back by Matt. I wonder who this Matt person could be. On the back of a picture of Leslie and his father, Thomas Wayne. Alfred and Bruce find Matthew Thorne in the yearbook from medical school. So he's starting to put two and two together. The guy knew his dad. Leslie and Matthew complete the operation with ease, and he attempts to escort her home. Fortunately, the gang tells Matthew that they'd never had orders from Rupert to allow Leslie to leave alive and spill the beans. Batman struggles with his CTE as he fights his way through the Thorne hospital. Meanwhile, Matthew offers to kill Leslie with a lethal injection instead of the boys whacking her. At that right moment, Matthew sticks the goon with the needle instead, knocking him out with a sedative. Matthew risks his new life to get Leslie out of the hospital with the assistance of Batman. Matthew is eventually arrested, but while in lockup, he's visited by Bruce Wayne, who offers to pay for his legal costs at the trial. Bruce tells him that in return, he only wants to know what his father was really like. Matthew smiles and recalls Thomas as we pan out of the window of the cell. Paging the crime doctor. Zach, what did you think?
It almost feels like this episode was taken from... It's director Frank Power was chilling at home one night. The writers were chilling at home and they were like, we got to come up with an episode for Batman, the animated series. It's like, we got a pitch deck due on Monday. What the hell do we do? We're out of ideas. What do we do? And they turned on the TV and like Chicago 911 was on the television or something like that. Or like, or an episode of Grey's Anatomy. And
yeah, they were definitely like, felt like Grey's Anatomy for sure.
And they were like, oh, what if we do this plus Batman? It's an interesting episode.
It's like a medical thriller meets like a like mobster show. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think it starts and ends really strongly, and there's a lot of junk in the middle that is not super compelling.
Yeah, like Leslie trying to fight off the goons and stuff like that.
My God. And just, yeah, Batman. Have you ever wanted to see Batman use a gurney to beat a bad guy? It's like, well, now you got one. You got it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Some of the action sequences, I think, are definitely taking a backseat to what makes this episode really interesting, which is the mafia stuff, which is, you know, the ties that bind being family and between Thorne and Matthew, but also with Batman having a potential link to his dad he didn't know about. You know what I mean? Which I think is easily the strongest part of the episode, which is the very end.
It is the very, very end. It's a cool way to end the episode, but it's almost like that's where you kind of want the episode to start. Like, I think you could have condensed the entire middle bit of just all the hospital stuff with like shoved in like action in the hospital. I don't know, to make more room for like because I really did like the end of the episode. I was like, oh, that's kind of nifty. Batman didn't necessarily, it's cool when you see Batman kind of like, you know, he's so morally driven. It's like, I'm always going to be fighting crime for the right reasons, make Gotham a better place, save civilians, make other people's lives better or whatever. But in the end, like this whole episode is basically Batman instigating things because he wants something out of it, which is a cool angle. But it ends there. And I'm guessing, and the next episode doesn't really do anything with picking that thread up.
None of the episodes really play off of what came before, besides just basic continuity stuff, which is to be expected with the kids' cartoon. But
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. But that ending is so compelling that it makes you wish that there was more.
Yeah.
What did you think of the episode, all in all?
I actually really liked it. I honestly, like, I feel like I've probably only seen this episode now, including this rewatch, maybe three times. Like, it's not one that I've regularly revisited, but watching it from this perspective of essentially watching Batman episodes almost every week at this point, I feel like you and I have been on a pretty consistent roll. I found it a little more fascinating to kind of have an episode with breathing room a little bit, where it's a little more cerebral to think about you know, the mythology of how Thomas Wayne is connected to all of these people, like the Wayne family and how it is woven into the fabric of Gotham is always really fascinating.
Action-wise,
not really much to be said, like you mentioned.
That is cool. I mean, one of my favorite underrated moments from Batman Begins is the scene where they're on the train and they're heading into Gotham. And it's the old flashback of like young Bruce Wayne. He's like, well, you see that tower, Bruce? We built that tower. We've got people everywhere.
People aren't as fortunate as us, Bruce. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Don't be scared, Bruce.
Why do we fall? I will say I thought that the animation in this was particularly really clean. I felt like it's like got this really dark grayish hue from the beginning on the bridge all the way through it until you get to the end in the interrogation cell with Bruce and Matthew Thorne, where there's this big warm spotlight hanging over them. And I felt like thematically that was really cool.
Well, I was going to bring this up too, and maybe I just need to go back and rewatch it, but it's like, did this episode not have kind of like an Aladdin 2 sort of vibe to it? Where it's like, you know, you go back and rewatch Aladdin 1 and it's like, it's got some of the hand-drawn animation, it's got the CG stuff with like Genie or whatever, but it's like, you watch a movie like Aladdin, you're like, oh, this has a really like, oh, it's so, it, the colors are pop, the, but it's nice and smooth and the dull. Animation's beautiful. And then you look at Aladdin 2 and it's like, oh, that's a whoa. And it, cause it kind of looks like a little fake. This is the first episode of this entire Batman, the animated series, where I noticed the animation looked a little bit, not like it, not darker. Like it looked like usually the show has a very like dim quality to it. And it's like,
this is like Zack Snyder. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they turned the saturation up, and but it's like, I don't know. Am I crazy? Did you notice anything?
I don't know if I noticed that particularly, but I feel like that's, you know, that's easily a valid point to make. I'd have to go back and kind of look at it. I just was more noticing like the, you know, how they have like warm colors and cold colors kind of aspect. That's just what I was picking up on when I was watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, the animation style looked less hand-drawn animation and more like sneaking its toe into like Teen Titans Go territory with the animation. Yeah. And I was like, what's going on?
They got templates and stuff like that.
Yeah, because then the next episode they look totally fine. Like I didn't notice anything different about the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely know what you're talking about now, for sure. All in all though, I felt like for me, the point that I did want to make is I feel like Rupert Thorne is a character that appears a lot. I think his best usage is in the Two-Face part one and part two as the antithesis to Harvey Dent. But I feel like this was a pretty interesting Thorne episode. Much more interesting than It's Never Too Late, which is also about two brothers, one of which is a crime boss and the other, which is a servant of some good nature. You know what I mean?
I know that
this
episode
is so much more fascinating.
That's it. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, but I think, you know, for me, the standout stuff, again, just the ending, really. I liked the opening. The action on the bridge is pretty cool. That's definitely my favorite animation cell, is them getting away and they're like talking in the car. And then it pans up and you see Batman like running on the side and you're like, oh, you're fucked now.
opening gave me, it was like, it reminded me of Ben Affleck's moment in The Flash, the new Flash movie.
Yeah.
Kind of like that street chase, police chase sequence.
Exactly.
And I was like, this is the animated version of that.
For sure. I don't really have much more else to say. Did you?
I got two trivia facts. Again, we're pulling trivia from IMDb. We're calling this, Bat trivia or Bat trivia.
IMD Bat trivia.
IMD Batman. IMDb. Okay. IMD Batman.
IMD Batman.
IMD Batman.
All right. What you got?
While at Leslie Tompkins' home, Bruce Wayne picked up the caduceus.
Are you talking about the serpent wrapped around the winged
pole? That sign. So
the medical symbol from ancient,
I think it's
Greek,
a caduceus, right? Caduceus.
I don't know.
Emily would know. Is Emily over there? Do you know what the caduceus is?
Caduceus.
Is it caduceus? It's
caduceus.
It's that medical symbol with like the thing with like the
two
thing
snakes and the wings. The
snakes and the wings. Oh, she doesn't know. Nurse doesn't know.
Here's the phonics. Caduceus.
Caduceus.
Thank you, Google. Caduceus.
Okay. While there at Leslie go. Tompkins' home, Bruce Wayne picks up the Caduceus, a book that contained the photographs and names of all the medical graduates from Thomas Wayne's, Leslie's, and Matthew Thorne's year. The book had a Caduceus sign on it with only one serpent instead of the traditional two. The Caduceus is often confused with the real symbol of medicine, the rod of Asclepius.
Very cool.
Trivia. remember a few weeks ago when we did the joke, the funeral Batman, who killed Batman?
Yes,
we had like 10 trivia Batman. Things
I know, yeah,
that was fun. There's that was it.
This is it for that one.
That was it.
Okay,
there's right. Another one. There's okay, so I love you, IMDb trivia people out there. You submit an IMDb trivia facts. Hilarious. The only other trivia fact on this episode is someone wrote, the orderly who Batman struggles to fight slightly resembles Lucas from the episode Prophecy of Doom.
Man, that's a weird trivia.
I don't know if that's actually trivia, but thank you anyway, Luke.
That seems more of like an observation, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, after each of our episodes that we review on RadioVision, we slot them into a master rankings that we have. So far, we have covered 52 episodes of Batman the Animated Series. 55 after this week's episode is over. We break them down into tiers. Starting at the top, we have S tier, A tier, B tier, tier C. It's never too late tier, and tier it's basement.
It's never not funny.
Or sorry, it semicolons, never too late tier. Zach, I personally feel like this episode is kind of like mid tier C for me.
I was thinking the same fucking thing, dude. I would
say, but I liked it more than Mudslide. And I also think I like it more than Birds of a Feather, which is,
remind me, Birds of a Feather.
Birds of a Feather
goes on a date.
Penguins on a date in high
yeah,
society.
This is better than that.
But I don't like it more than Mad as a Hatter.
So 42 it is.
42.
42 it is.
Easy deliberation. That's two Frank Power episodes back to back, 41 and 42.
Yikes, bud.
Yeah.
What is this one called? Paging the Crime Doctor?
Paging the Crime Doctor.
Paging
the Crime Doctor. I should say this is same with Mad as a Hatter. Strong tier C. Strong tier C. But not quite past the interesting enough threshold to be B tier for me. That's my thought.
Totally agree. I think that it's a total middle of the road. I mean, tier C is perfect. Like, not only is the name funny, but it's just like kind of it's just a perfect category. It's like,
yeah, it's like a wild card almost.
It was entertaining. It had some really positive aspects to it. Did it have?
I might watch it again sometime for fun. Yeah.
Did it have anything overwhelmingly negative? No, but it is probably, I think tier C can be perfectly described as not compelling.
Not insulting.
Yeah. Not insulting. Yeah. Palatable. For didn't sure. Make me want to vom.
Yep. All right. Our next episode tonight, Zatanna. Very excited for this one. Written by Mr. Paul Dini. You might know him. And directed by Dick Sebast and Dan Ribba. Dick Sebast and Dan Ribba sound like they make condoms, don't they? Ribba for your pleasure. Shout out, Dan. We love you.
Dick Sebast, director of 9 episodes of Batman the Animated Series. We've talked about this guy a couple times so far. He's directed Feet of Clay Part 1 and 2, The Cat and the Claw Part 1 and 2, Fear of Victory, Dreams in Darkness, Moon of the Wolf, and What is Reality? Dan Ribba, I think this is the first time that we've talked about this person. Is that not
right? He becomes a recurring director in both this Batman Beyond and Justice League. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Because, yeah, their credits on Batman the Animated Series are
small.
Very, very small. In fact, served on 10 episodes, but only a couple of them is like a director. Mm-hmm. So, and a couple of them are down the line, but yeah, Zatanna here, and then Blind as a Bat, which we have not gotten to that episode, right? So everything else is in the future. So this is our first introduction to the directing power of Dan Ribba for your pleasure.
Dan Ribba will be a household name in Warner Brothers animation after this for sure. So he definitely becomes, you know, prominent. And Paul Dini, I feel like we talk about quite a bit.
All the time.
Do you have any, you want to do a little quick writer's plug for him? I know we don't typically cover all the writers, but
no. Paul Dini, I mean, it's worth, you know, mentioning he's American animator and he is super, super, super influential in Batman and just about everything. He was the writer on 26 episodes of the animated series, including some of our top picks, Joker's Favor, Heart of Ice, Pretty Poison, Almost Got Him, Christmas with the Joker, Joker's Wild, The Laughing Fish, Harvey and Ivy, which is coming up soon, I think.
Next week. Harvey and Ivy, yeah.
He's also credited as a writer on one episode of 2004's Lost. He wrote the episode called The Moth, season 1, episode 7.
Interesting.
Do you remember that?
No.
I don't remember that at all.
The Moth. I don't know if I've watched that.
Charlie begins a journey of withdrawal from drugs. Oh, I remember this episode now. Aided by Locke, whose true motive is a mystery.
I forgot about that.
That's a big, what's that guy's name? Lloyd?
Dominic Monaghan.
What? I gotta find my boy.
Michael.
That's Michael, sorry.
Yeah, Charlie is Dominic Monaghan. Locke is, what's that guy's name? Terry O'Quinn. There we go. Just dug that out. Wait till we do Lost Cast. Can't wait.
Oh, God. Radio Vision. Just every episode of Lost re-reviewed. Honestly, don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. I think it would be fun. But that's a long time down the road.
Yeah, long, long time.
Maybe for the 20th anniversary of Lost. Or 30th, I guess.
I was going to say.
That's next year. Can't do that.
Lost is not 30 years old.
20. Is next
20
year.
Years old. Oh, thank God.
We're not going to be done with this next year. So
I was going to say, 2004. So, 20 years in 2004.
2004, we can start for sure.
Cool. I'm in. See you there.
Yep. All right. So, Zatanna, before we start, Zatanna is a member of the Justice League. She's a magician. So, like in DC Comics, she's like a really big player. So, it's cool for her to be introduced in this episode. But a fun fact, I think, is that Paul Dini's wife, Misty Lee, is a stage magician slash actress. So I think he has a fondness for the character, hence his wanting to incorporate her as early into Batman the Animated Series, which I think is a fun fact. So.
Yeah, that is fun.
The title card, what'd you think? It's a top hat with a glove, a wand, four hearts, no numbers.
I like that you read these like you're an auctioneer. Like,
what a 200, 250, 250.
For item 295, we have
it's like NPR.
Yeah,
Zatanna is a magician of the American team of superheroes, the Justice League. She wields a wand and powers of darkness. We'll start the bidding at $2.
250, Bob. It's cool. It's fine. It's not the best thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean,
I wanted to see more, if I'm being honest.
I really love the font. The font decision for the word Zatanna, awesome. But the image, just not great. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see a silhouette of her with them sexy legs sticking up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're a fan of legs, boy, do we have the episode of this.
Zatanna. All right. 2-minute plot synopsis for you here. Bear with me. Zatanna performs magic to a crowd of adoring fans in Gotham. Two fans in the attendance are Bruce Wayne and Alfred. Alfred laments that Zatanna and Bruce have not seen each other in 10 years, even though Zatanna and her father were both very fond of Bruce. Flashback to years ago, and Zatara the magician is teaching Bruce, he's going by the name John Smith at the time, the art of escaping a straitjacket. Zatara tells Bruce that he was happy to take him under his wing, but is skeptical of this man of mystery who only wants to learn the art of escaping, not going on the road with them to tour. Zatanna is upset that quote-unquote John is leaving for Japan and not finishing the tour with them, clearly very stricken with this young, handsome Bruce Wayne. Bruce tells Zatanna that he knows he will see her again, and as they embrace, she handcuffs him to the ladder. However, Bruce is able to escape and make his first appearance as Batman, where you turn around and he's just gone. So I thought that was a cool moment where like the it's like dangling. Pretty sweet. Did this give you prestige vibes before we continue?
Just an ordinary rubble.
Just immediately, like as soon as I saw the stage magic going on, I'm part of the bloody act, you fool. just made me want to watch the prestige
hell yeah,
again.
Dude. Hell yeah. This episode was actually co-directed by Jonathan Nolan. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does the great Danton enjoy taking his bows under the stage? what a fucking flick.
It's a movie and a half right there.
Back in the present day, Zatanna brings a magical critic named Kane on stage. She hopes to prove him wrong once and for all that she can actually perform real magic. Zatanna's big trick is to make the Gotham Mint with its $10 million cash pile just disappear. However, when Zatanna attempts to bring the mint back, she's able to. However, the money is all gone and she's promptly arrested by the GC. Bruce knows that she was set up and intends to free. Batman busts Zatanna out of her police car prison and drives off with her in the Batmobile. Batman offers to help her solve who framed her. I thought this was a really funny moment there, too. Dini's got some good... Dini is the only one I trust in this entire show to write romance for Batman in a cartoon. Like, that's it.
Period. Yeah, when Paul Dini's not writing romance, you have the cat people...
the cat stuff gets wild. Yeah, like this is the part of the episode I think where she's like, so what makes you want to help like a beautiful woman in fishnet tights out of a jam? Or did I just answer my own question? Which is like really clever stuff that like you don't really pick up on when you're younger, but like when you're an adult, you're like, clearly Batman's got something on his mind here. So
he wants a nice drumstick.
He wants to make his cock disappear.
Oh my god. It's the greatest magic trick of all.
Back at the Gotham Mint, Batman finds a scrap on the floor where the mint was and shards of glass. They both confirm that a mirror must have been used by the thief to reflect an image of the cash during the trick, but that the money was stolen long before that. Batman suspects that Kane must have learned the trick first and probably stole the cash. He asks Zatanna about if she has a husband or anyone in town that she needs to call, and she says no. She also mentions that she doesn't have any time for a relationship now because she's so busy carrying on the act now that her father has passed away. Batman is noticeably sad to hear these news. Our heroes arrive at Kane's and realize that they have walked into a trap. They narrowly escape a spiky death trap, Indiana Jones style, where they like shove stuff into the walls. You know what I mean? That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah.
And Batman discovers that Kane most likely escaped to a state-of-the-art aircraft. Kane is attempting to make a run out of country with no extradition. Shout out to Dom and Brian. Batman and Zatanna arrive to ruin his plan, but fall short and are captured again. Like, clearly these guys are not operating at peak performance here. Batman and Zatanna are chained together and thrown out of the plane, but Batman pleads with her to take his hand. Using her nickname Zana from their youth, she finds a lockpick in the glove, and as they are suspended outside of the plane via cargo net, Uncharted 3 style, she's able to get them out. Batman and Zatanna get rid of the goons via unrealistic fall, where they just like drop them into the bay, I guess. I don't know. And then they take out Kane. Many years removed from when they first met, Zatanna asks Batman, finally, what drove him to don this persona. He replies, a painful memory and a promise to keep. And Zatanna claims that he is doing that very well and that her father, Zatara, would be proud of him. Right before Batman can offer to give her a ride home, she disappears, leaving a goodbye note. The end. Zach.
The end.
Two questions. A, okay. What'd you think of the episode? B, do you have any Zatanna exposure besides this? And I'm setting you up to talk about something that we've already watched before.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good point. So I was about to answer question two first and say, no, I don't have any Zatanna exposure, but that's not true. I have seen that one episode of Justice League Adventures.
Justice League Unlimited.
Justice League Unlimited. Probably more than... I've seen that one episode...
A lot.
Conservatively 15 times, because... It's a favorite of Mr. John Swansong's.
Yes. This Little Piggy is the name of the episode. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So the premise of that is Wonder Woman is turned into a pig by Cersei, the sorceress from ancient mythology, and Batman seeks out the most trusted magician that he knows, which is Zatanna, to help her turn Wonder Woman back into a woman. You know? Good stuff. Anyway, what'd you think of this one?
To answer the question about, yeah. So I thought the episode was cool. Not top tier quality for Deanie. Like, I didn't
missing
think
a key component that he normally has, which is a little guy called the Joker.
The Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I do like what Paul Dini does here. I mean, it's a very, here's what I'll say about this episode is that it's very, like, the narrative is very grand. Like, you joked about it being like the Prestige. It is kind of like more layered and complex of a narrative, because it's like you have these flashbacks and then this stuff with Bruce and Zatanna, and like you're talking to like this and you're going to different places. It's like, it's a very like cinematic episode. So, I mean, you expect that with someone like Paul Dini. He's a talented writer, and he gets the episode to go in interesting places. It's just not as compelling as some of his other work. But I think that, you know, at this point, after watching over 50 episodes of this show with you and like talking about them, when I see the name Paul Dini come up on screen, I'm expecting like hit it, hit the home run, hit the dinger to the back center right field. And while I think it was a really, really great episode, I didn't think it was like anywhere close to hit some of his top efforts. Yeah. I think Zatanna is cool, but not overly compelling. I don't know what you're, I'm curious to know what you thought of the episode, what you thought of the episode back in the day, like when you first watched this, and what your exposure was to Zatanna in general as a character.
Yeah. So if memory serves me correctly, I think the Zatanna exposure that I have would just be from a reading the books, comic books from DC Comics. Check it out. A little known publisher. It's a small startup. But besides that, on screen, like, I actually think I might have seen the Justice League episode before this somehow, because I didn't watch every single episode of Batman. I would catch a lot of them on reruns, but I wasn't there for when it originally aired. So I never watched it in sequential order until I owned the DVDs. And I actually think I saw the Justice League one on TV beforehand. So that was probably why I definitely side with this little piggy as a more entertaining episode of television than this.
It's got Batman doing karaoke. How can that's like
Kevin
peak
Conroy
entertainment.
Gets to sing. He gets to use his stage voice, which is really cool. But I think Zatanna is a really interesting character. She's typically tied now in the books to the Justice League Dark, which is a fascinating aspect of the DC universe, where it's like an offshoot magical based team that typically has like her, John Constantine, Swamp Thing, Dr. Fate, people like that, Detective Chimp every now and then. So, but I thought the episode did not hold up as much as I thought it did, if I'm being honest. There's some cool aspects. I think the opening is great with the performance on stage
for sure,
and the flashback. I like all that stuff. All the action stuff on the plane at the end. Yeah, I thought the plane like action stuff didn't really hold up as much as I remembered. However, I think the episode ends in a really good way, which is like a fantastic callback to their life together and stuff like that. So,
yeah, kind of vibes of the Matt Reeves Batman at the end.
A little bit.
The
yeah,
two of them like kind of talking and then going.
They
their
don't
separate
stay
ways.
Together necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah. Batman, talk about the last couple weeks. We've had unrequited romance with Talia, we've got Zatanna here. Batman's a little bit of a
he's getting
playboy.
Around. He's yeah, getting he's, around getting, town, he's yeah. certainly getting around. Catwoman has been absent for a while. He's exploring other options. You know, pretty interesting stuff here from
he's
our.
Leaving, he's leaving Catwoman unread. It's like
she sees the three dots and then he stops. Yeah.
Do you think Batman uses iPhone?
No, absolutely not. He probably made his own phone, like untraceable. You know, it's like a burner, super burner.
Modified a Zune,
yeah, yeah, or an iPad Touch or something like that. iPod Touch.
Yep. He uses BlackBerry.
All right. Did you have a moment of animation cells or anything like that that you wanted to talk about?
These ones have been hard. I need to start writing these down, especially because it's been a couple days since I've watched these episodes, so I'm having a harder time remembering specific animation cells. But I did enjoy all the theater stuff. I thought the flashbacks were really cool. I mean, I'm trying to think of a specific moment that really stuck out. Did you have one?
Not particularly, besides the intro, some of like the fun magic stuff in the intro with like her moving things around and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would probably be my standout. Probably just even just like the first image that we see of her. I think it's really cool when they translate characters from other things in DC Comics into the show, just to see like what the Bruce Timm art style looks like on some of these characters.
Has there been a live action Zatanna? Like, has this character ever been played?
She's
by
on Smallville, I think.
Really? There
for a little bit. Really? Yeah, they had a whole Justice League on Smallville for a little bit.
Oh my god! Did you watch all of Smallville?
No.
I heard it got really bad.
It started out really good though, like really good. And I think the Tom Welling Superman and the Rosenbaum Lex Luthor is like a lot of people's favorite Superman Lex combo, you know. Shout out Michael Rosenbaum. Come on the pod. Let's get inside of
you
us.
Want you want more Rosenbaum on this pod?
I would chaos. Love to talk to Rosenbaum exclusively about his role as the Flash on the Justice League cartoon. Because that ties in. And he could tell us about working with Kevin. I think that'd be great.
That would be cool. Just come on the pod, Mike.
Come on the pod, Rosie. All right.
Old Rosie. I got some trivia.
Yeah, please.
Vincent Schiavelli, Zatara, the guy, her father, Zatara. Yes. The voice actor, Vincent Schiavelli. Are you familiar with this person at all?
I looked him up and I saw his picture. I was like, it's that guy, but I don't remember what I know him from.
He's one of only 5 actors from the show who appeared in one of the 4 Burton Schumacher live action Batman movies.
Oh, he's the clown guy.
Yeah, in Returns. Batman Returns as the organ grinder.
That's the guy. I remember him now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This episode and Night of the Ninja 1992 are the 2 episodes that show a young Bruce Wayne training. So we might get other young Bruce Wayne flashback episodes, but these are the only 2 episodes of him like.
Yeah, so far we've seen, and the Night of the Ninja takes place after this because he says he has to go to Japan. So he learned how to escape first, and then he's tipping off that he's going to Japan next. So we're a little bit out of order here, Nolan style, which is pretty cool.
You, Paul Dini, you clever bastard.
Son of a bitch.
It's like Tenet. It's like at the end of Tenet when everything starts lining up.
The bullets are going backwards.
Originally, Gentleman Ghost was meant to be the antagonist of this episode, but producer Alan Burnett shot the idea down due to being too supernatural, and as a result was replaced by the somewhat forgettable Montague Kane. This would have made him a rogues gallery transplant due to him normally facing Hawkman long before Batman the Brave and the Bold did so. He eventually appears in Justice League Unlimited in a small cameo fighting Hawkgirl.
Yes, I love Gentleman Ghost. He's a weird D-level DC villain.
That's an awesome name for a supervillain, by the way. The Gentleman Ghost.
Look him up. Google him real quick. DC Comics Gentleman Ghost. He is notably a Hawkman villain, which is why I like him.
He's so got weird. Like an Ichabod Crane sort of vibe.
And he's got a monocle and everything. It's fun. It's good stuff.
Ichabod, what a name. Ichabod. All right. Alfred asks whether Bruce saw Zatanna 10 or 12 years ago, which Bruce seemingly confirms to be the latter or even longer, giving something of a time frame for certain events of Bruce's life. That's trivia. Thanks, IMDb trivia.
I think that's interesting, though, because that means that he has been Batman. Because Mask of the Phantasm is him. Spoilers for our pod when we do that. Mask of the Phantasm is him coming back to Gotham from training. He doesn't have the bat suit yet, but he's starting to fight crime. So if that's 12 years after he began his training with Zatanna, which seems like that was his first stop, that means that he began his training as Batman probably like 15 years prior to where we are at in the show. So he's been Batman for a little bit. Pretty cool. Okay.
That is
a lot longer than Rob Pat's Batman. That's for sure.
I'm vengeance.
It's October 23rd. It's October 31st.
this episode's actually got a hella trivia. Zatanna's first appearance. So. You know, there you go. At least animated, yeah. Montague Kane, voiced by Michael York, refers to Batman as detective. This may or may not be a reference to Ra's al Ghul, who always calls Batman detective, and who is voiced by David Warner, who is good friends with and uses an accent and manner very similar to Michael York.
They sound exactly the same, to the point that I had to check and make sure it wasn't the same guy. It's not. He's like, yeah, detective.
When Zatanna attempts to guess Bruce's future, she guesses Bruce has a two hearts card, but he ends up having a Joker card.
What, hilarious. Yeah. That's how Paul Dini snuck it in there. You know what I mean?
Yep. He's like, I gotcha. Gotcha. He's like,
I can't quit you, Joker. I'm the Joker, baby.
I'm the Joker, baby. And then someone says the spike pit was a tribute to a similar scene from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Boom. Same. That was actually me. I logged that trivia on IMDb. I'm just kidding.
If I go next week to one of these episodes and it's like trivia answer.
Temple of Doom.
Those are good movies.
Every way that I can find how it connects Indiana Jones.
And great. That's all the trivia that I got for you.
Great. Where should we put this? I went again, first last time, tipping my hand. So you go.
Okay. Yeah. You tipped your hand first. I feel like you're going to put this maybe a little bit higher than me. I'm not sure where we're at on this one, but it's definitely... I'm looking, is it better than On Leather Wings? I think it's probably better than On Leather Wings. Is it though? Well,
I think it is.
I think it is.
It's a better Batman episode. Like it's a cool character piece for our homie, Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's A tier, but I don't know how high. I don't know how high. Okay, go ahead.
I'll say that I'm identifying POV as the episode that I think is better than this. I actually like that episode better.
This is why we're becoming the same mind, because that's exactly what I was going to say. I like it better than the first Riddler episode, but not more than POV, which is a fun like cop procedural kind of thing. So I think this is the new number 24.
The new number 24. Can we re-edit POV with like Bad Boys, like the cops theme song or whatever?
Bad boys,
what you gonna do?
Zatanna.
Z-A-T-T?
Z-A-T-A-N-N-A. Nice. No TTs in there. Well, there are TTs.
Well, there are certainly some TTs, so.
Definitely some TTs.
Hey, Yuki. Oh, you got a cat? Is cat joining the pod?
She's going to knock it over like Franklin that one time.
Franklin, goddamn. Still one of the best videos ever.
Yeah. All right. You ready for our last one of the week?
I'm ready.
The Mechanic, written by Steve Perry, Laren Bright again, and Randy Rogel again. I think they're writing partners, if I remember correctly. Directed by Kevin Altieri.
Kevin Altieri. Real quick, we've talked about this guy a couple times recently. He's the Pearl Jam guy. So yes. He did the music video. He did the art department for Pearl Jam, Do the Evolution.
Do the Evolution, baby!
But for Batman, scrolling. This guy has 1,000 credits for animated stuff on IMDb. If you go check this guy out.
He's like the animated Kevin Feige.
He's everywhere. Directed Cat in the Claw. He was a storyboard artist for Cat in the Claw. I'm looking for director credits. Where is director credits? Where are you? I can't find you. I'm getting so close. Hold on.
Sorry, what are you trying to find?
I'm trying to find his director credits. I'm almost there. 22 episodes. There we go. Okay. Yeah, directed Cat in the Claw, On Leather Wings, Feet of Clay, POV. Clock King, Last Laugh, Eternal Youth, Two-Face Part 1 and 2, Heart of Steel, Off Balance, and The Mechanic. So Off Balance, was that the Vertigo episode last week?
Yep.
So two episodes for
Count Vertigo.
Our guy Kevin Altieri.
Yeah, cool. Kevin. Well, Kevin, I thought I actually had a pretty interesting episode. I'm excited to talk to you about it. The title card for The Mechanic is the back end of the Batmobile without the flame. It's a little awesome without the font. I just want the Batmobile image itself, to be honest.
I actually think the title card looks like this. When I saw this come up on the TV, I was like, I paused it and I was like, what does this look like? You know what this is? This is what the title card would look like if A24 directed a Batman movie.
Yeah.
It's like super minimal and dark.
The afterburner. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
It's super cool.
It's awesome. 2 minute plot synopsis. Ready?
Yep. Ready for you.
The Batmobile is in hot pursuit of a getaway vehicle filled with machine gun wielding mobsters. Through a bridge That even Dom through a bridge jump that even Dom Toretta would be proud of. The goons are able to escape the Batmobile though, but the Batmobile's hood is crushed by the bridge. It's one of those things where the bridge goes up for boats to go under. Batman and Robin take the Batmobile to an underground garage where Earl, a mechanic, provides a diagnosis for what will need to be fixed on the Batmobile this time. He and his daughter give Batman and Robin bat cycles in the meantime, since the repairs may take a couple of days. In a secret lair, Penguin reprimands his gang, the lucky mob from the opening, for not stealing exactly what he wanted. He's collecting rare holo cards of birds, which I was just like, dude was going to be ground level for Pokemon, like for sure. One of the goons introduces a friend to the Penguin. This friend works for an auto parts supplier, and he handles custom orders. He has been able to deduce that the highly unique parts must only be for the Batmobile. Penguin takes the paper trail and offs the pencil pusher. Unfortunately, Earl Cooper's name, the mechanic from Batman's secret garage, is all over these bills of sale. Penguin and his gang blast their way into Earl's garage. The gang attempts to sabotage the Batmobile, but first they need to bypass the security system. Every time they try to do it, it zaps them. Penguin asks Earl how he came into service of Batman, and Earl explains that he noticed a design flaw at Global Motors, which is his old job, in a new vehicle that they were putting out there. Rather than fix the problem, the higher-ups sent muscle to make sure Earl didn't spill the beans, but Batman arrived and saved his life that night. Earl could not get work after that, though, because he became known as a whistleblower in the automotive industry. Thankfully, Batman needed a new car and let Earl design it. So, if you like the Batman animated series Batmobile, thank Earl. He's the guy. Penguin sets a trap for Batman and comes to pick up the Batmobile. He has a remote control that bypasses the security of the car and allows Penguin to control it. If this sounds familiar, this is also a B plot in Batman Returns when Danny DeVito's Penguin takes control over the Batmobile using a like grocery store tile bat style Batmobile ride. Where was I? While the gang hides, Earl tells Batman that his daughter is working, quote, in the basement, and that he made adjustments to the air switch, putting emphasis on both of them. Batman encounters on the road back to Gotham, but Batman has no control over the Batmobile. Penguin routes both cars to the Gotham airport and parks them on the runway. He sends the Batmobile on a wild ride around the airstrip, and Batman and Robin cannot escape the car. Batman puts two and two together on Earl's warnings of a car crash and where the new hidden ejector seat is. Earl escapes his own imprisonment, clearly enraged at the apparent death of Batman. And back on the airstrip, Batman paraglides behind Penguin's ride until they crash. Robin knocks out the Penguin, and Earl's daughter is saved. Batman relocates Earl to a new garage and tells him that he is routing part orders through a dummy corporation so he cannot be tracked again. In prison, Penguin is polishing license plates and comes across one that says, "One bat for you." The end. Zach, the mechanic. What'd you think?
It's good. It's cool. It's a cool little simple story. I like the Batman gets interpersonal sort of vibe. Like the, you know, he's like, it's the ultimate, you know how you're, you know, growing up, it's like your parents would fight over where to take the car. It's like, oh, the car's broken. Where are we going to take it? It's like, dad's got the auto guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a guy. It's like, it's got to take it to Rick and got to have him look at it in the shop or whatever. That's what's going on here. So
this is like the side, because if you haven't noticed in this show so far, Lucius Fox does not have a relationship with Batman. He only has a relationship with Bruce. And I think it's interesting that they kind of have that aspect of the Fox character in this Earl Cooper character, which is pretty fascinating.
Do they ever expand the Lucius Fox character in the animated series, or is that just like not a particularly sort of thing? Okay.
Yeah, he's more of a Wayne Tech guy more than anything. I thought the episode was pretty good, actually. I read a synopsis before we watched it, and I was like, oh yeah, this is the Penguin taking control of the Batmobile one. Like, that's cute and all. But like, I actually found myself really vibing with the Earl backstory. Sure. I think that's pretty cool. I love how they have the Silver Age Batmobile when he like runs into him and he's like, I need your help designing a car. It's got the actual bat face on it from like the 50s comic books. That's pretty sweet. But I actually thought we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Pretty good Penguin episode, actually.
Yeah, this one's not
might be the best one that we've had so far for him, besides Almost Got Him.
Yeah, if almost got him, if that doesn't count as a penguin episode.
For sure.
This is easily the best penguin episode we've had.
Yeah, I think he's like pretty sinister. I love the lair. I love how it's got a drain with the giant rubber duck. You can see that their universe and the Burton universe are now intertwined a year after Batman Returns. So yeah, I really dug that. I thought that was fun. And yeah, who doesn't like car chases? You know, this reminded me also of The Batman. And as soon as this episode was over, I booted up that car chase and watched scene, because that's also the Penguin and Batman. So good stuff all around, I think.
Yeah, the action in this episode, I think, is actually a pretty stellar highlight. Like it moves from you know, place to place really well, and everything's, you know, pieced together really seamlessly. The episode goes by really fast, and it is a very straightforward A to B to C. It is, what do? We got to fix the Batmobile. We got to save this mechanic. Okay, cool. Penguin's doing some sinister shit. Okay, we got him. But it's exciting enough, and it's a cool enough episode.
I think,
but there's nothing much deeper than that. I do agree with you about like the mechanics story. Like, you learn a little bit about Earl, but like beyond that, and like the relationship he has with his daughter, it's not the most complex thing in the world. But
for sure, I think the elevator pitch for this must have been really interesting, though, to just be like, who fixes the Batmobile? And moreover, what happens when somebody finds out who it is, like, especially one of Batman's villains. So I like that a lot. You could tell that Nolan watched this episode for sure, because he takes a lot of influence with it, with the guy trying to blackmail Bruce Wayne in The Dark Knight, things like that. Like, there's a lot of stuff like where Batman isn't careful with his paper trail, which doesn't make any sense to me sometimes, but you know, it is what it is. A guy that can find kryptonite and make a spear, but he can't create a dummy corporation for his automotive repairs.
Well, he learns by the end. He's like, don't worry, I've created a dummy corporation to route everything through. And it's like,
it'll never happen again.
What I did notice, you mentioned like the Nolan comparison. I did notice, maybe it was just like the way the scene was drawn, or like just a total coincidence, but where the mechanic is, they never show an exterior shot of his mechanic shop,
like The Dark Knight. Yeah, the underground.
It looks like the underground Batcave, like the
where they do the gun testing.
Yep.
Ding 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 ding. I'm not quite sure it's loud enough, sir. Yeah.
So I don't know. That was cool to see too. But yeah, no, it is a really. Because everyone's had the age old debates, like how do more people not realize who Batman is, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do more people not find out who Batman? If Batman was totally legit in our world right now, everyone would know who he is. There'd be no way to obscure it. I mean, actually, we can't figure out who Banksy is. So that's still a thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But maybe Batman have a shot. But still. How do more people not find out who Batman is? And it's always fascinating when they start to get close. And I think that's the interesting thing here. It's not played with super in depth, but it's used to good effect here.
I also think it's interesting too, that they make it like, this is the consequences of Batman being sloppy. You know what I mean? It's like, it's going to affect two human lives that he endangered. You know what I mean? So I think that's always adds a stake to it as well. You know,
gotta be better.
Yep. But he has no problem dressing up a teenager in red and green tights and putting him out on the streets fighting gunmen. So he kind of doesn't care that much, I guess.
Yeah, doesn't Robin?
Unless
have
you're
like
a magician in fishnets.
Robin has a tiny little cameo in this episode, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's riding in the Batmobile pretty much most of the time. So he's in the opening and the end.
But yeah, but he's not like
not a feature
character. Oh, gee whiz, Batman, we gotta go save Earl or whatever. It's like
he gets the ending kick, though. He knocks the Penguin out, which is pretty sick. He's just like bam. I love those bat gliders. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Got some trivia for you. You ready?
Lay it on me. Yep.
The number one surprise, surprise, Penguin takes control of the remote control of the Batmobile, just like the character did in Batman Returns in 1992.
I played this city like a hop from hell. That's what he says in the movie.
In Batman,
coming up soon. That's a Christmas movie, not a Christmas.
Yeah, that is a Christmas movie for sure. In Batman Arkham Knight 2015, across the street from the Bank of Gotham in Chinatown, there's an auto shop called Earl Cooper Auto Repair.
Yep.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Rocksteady loves the animated verse. faux show.
Batman's chest insignia when he first meets Earl lacks the yellow background, matching the costume for the Golden Age Batman and the original costume for the Silver Age Batman.
Yep. Bingo. Nailed it. You know why he has the yellow shield? Have we talked about this?
Yeah, it's people shoot at it.
Yeah, because it's a bulletproof vest behind there. Pretty smart. Pretty smart guy, that Batman. Are you a yellow oval bat symbol guy, or do you like just the bat symbol? The black one. So, like, notable yellow ovals are Michael Keaton and this show. And
Michael
Adam
Keaton's
West.
Is funny. The tiny little yellow bat symbol that's
and
like
and Adam
this big
West. And then notable non-yellow oval ones are every other Batman.
Every other Batman. Yeah, unfortunately, I got to say I lean less corny.
You're away from the yellow oval. Interesting. Yeah. I love it. I think it makes a great t-shirt.
Does make a great t-shirt.
Yeah. I ride for it. Thank you, Batman 89, for all that you do.
I mean, I love Batman 89. That, I mean, that bat suit is fucking sick,
it's
nasty.
Tits.
It's so cool.
It's so good.
The truck from which Penguin's men shoot tires during the second chase with Batman is the same model as the lorry Batman used to destroy the plague in the Cat and the Claw, or in the Cat and the Claw Part 2, right down to the flammable logo on the back.
They're just reusing trucks, huh?
We got all these perfectly good trucks lying around.
You called it, man. They got all these templates. Yeah, they're just like slapped it on there. They're like, here's a truck.
For Earl, Batman conceals his true identity by maintaining that his personal resources come from a group of unseen backers rather than from Wayne Enterprises. Earl and his daughter presumably don't know who Batman and Robin really are. That's kind of part of the plot. Thanks, IMDb. true to form, the Penguin's henchmen all have avian names hidden in their last names. Eagleton,
so
Eagle, Sheldrake, and and Falcon.
I thought that was hilarious.
This guy, it's just funny to me because like he's called the Penguin, but never did I really equate him one for one with having an obsession with birds. He's a penguin.
Yeah.
Which are birds. They are birds, but like,
yeah, he gets really into birds in this show.
He fucking loves them, man. He's
a big bird guy.
Huge bird guy. He's at the bird house in the zoo, like chilling. I don't know. It's just weird to me. What else do we got? When the Penguin is knocked down by Robin, he tries to reach for his umbrella, but Batman stops him. Then the Penguin begins slamming his fist on the ground almost exactly the same way he does in Birds of a Feather.
Yep. I noticed that too. I was like, he's like he's throwing a tantrum again.
And
he's
this
like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, bad man. Are you sure? In terms of production order, this is the final episode in the series to be animated by AKOM Production Company.
Interesting. I'm unaware of this.
This is production order. I thought this trivia was interesting. Further research needed, but this would make sense with what I was saying about the other episode. Like if production order around this time, the animation company switched, it would make sense that the visuals changed a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. A couple things here. The license plate the Penguin breaks at the end of the episode reads "One Bat for You" with the Gotham State motto as the Dark Deco State, a play on words referring to the dark Art Deco style used throughout the show. And the design of the Batmobile plays homage to the Golden Age comic book version, with notable feature being the bat face on the front, which you already talked about.
There you go. I like how that one's more of a car, though, and you can hear it, like, the engine stalling as he rolls up to the street. It's like, and he's like, I need a car.
I need
a car.
Do
you have Uber?
Does this support Zipcar?
Do you tow? You want to rate this bad boy? Rank
it? I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Any strong feelings out the gate? You like this episode a lot. Not a lot, but you liked it a lot more than me.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
What are you thinking?
Where indeed? I'm thinking new 37. 37 in a row? because I don't like it more than really? The Cat and the Claw. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to go way higher. I thought you were going to go
I don't like it that much. I think it's fun, but it's, I don't know. That's where I'm thinking.
Where? Okay, you said new 37?
I think it bumps Cat Scratch Fever down, which is the one where they poison all the strays to release them back into the street. But I think the Cat and the Claw Part 2 is pretty interesting. Heart of Steel is still very much more of an interesting story, and it's the introduction of Barbara. Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne is fun because it has all the villains and Hugo Strange. And then Fear of Victory is just Scarecrow hilariousness, which I really enjoy.
Okay. I can vibe with that, actually. Cat Scratch Fever, yeah. I'm pretty sure we put it in B because we liked Catwoman.
It's a good Catwoman episode.
But yeah, I like your 10-second synopsis was they poison the cats. Is that what happened?
The stray cats and dogs to release them back into the city and give people a virus.
And then people
that
Roland
Daggett has the antidote for. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little cornball supreme.
And this is like this. I feel like this being in the middle of B tier is like the perfect. This was a fun action-packed episode to watch without a whole lot of like serious substance, you know. So that's just where I lean. You could also convince me that it's the best B tier that we've had. I don't know. Because it is a really good
Penguin. You're not going to be convinced by me.
It is a good Penguin episode. And I'm worried that we might be doing him dirty by not putting anything higher. And I can't remember when the next Penguin episode is that I really enjoy.
We got to be true to the list though, right? It's like,
yeah,
I can't just put an episode. I don't want to rate this episode higher just because this is slightly better Penguin. It's good Penguin.
Yeah, I think 37 is a good spot for this.
I am diddly down.
Sweet.
What's this one called? The Mechanic.
The Mechanic.
It even has a name that sounds like an A24 movie. It's like,
I know. Yeah. Honestly, like if A24 made a Batman movie, this is the premise where it's like, who fixes the Batmobile for Batman? That would be fascinating.
Or whoever directed Drive, Nicholas Winding Refn or whatever. Like, yeah, get Ryan Gosling as Batman. But it's like the Mechanic and just like that.
Yeah,
oh, cool. I just got excited.
Awesome. Well,
that's it.
That's all we got. That's all the news that's fit to print for this week. Let me look up our list of future Batman episodes here. So I have that prepared.
And is this the first? So we had a couple weeks where we were slotting some S tiers. Man Who Killed Batman, Almost Got Him.
First week in a while that we haven't had an S tier.
We did have an A tier. I'm waiting for another week where we don't have anything above It's Never Too Late.
I don't know if that's going to be possible down the stretch. I really do remember like the first volume being the one that has a lot of those weird episodes. Almost every episode these days seems to be like pretty decent substance or a known Batman villain, which is fun, you know. But, you know, what do I know? we could be in for a rough stretch eventually, but so
yeah,
just to give people a little hint at what's coming, we mentioned it earlier. Next week, we probably will not be doing one of these, because I have a lot more to prepare for our Batman the Animated Series coverage for Mask of the Phantasm. So we might take a 1 week break from a regular scheduled Radiovision unless something else happens. However, the next time we do Radiovision is a great set of three episodes. So between the three episodes we're going to watch soon and Mask of the Phantasm, we got some good content coming down the stretch. So our next three episodes are Harley and Ivy and then Shadow of the Bat Part 1 and Part 2. So girl power time, baby, in the year of Barbie. We got some Harley and Ivy and some Batgirl. So that'll be fun.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. I was going to ask, like, don't spoil it too much, but what's the two-parter? It's Batgirl?
It's Batgirl.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Yeah,
very cool.
Exciting. Exciting stuff. I've heard nothing but good things. I've heard nothing but talk about this Harley and Ivy episode, so I'm excited
to
see it for the first time.
It's really fun. But yeah, so I'm very excited to do Mask of the Phantasm with you and to talk about those episodes. Thank you guys for listening. Again, a couple days. Please send us some radiovisionshow@gmail.com, radiovaniashow@gmail.com. Send us some content for Batman Mask of the Phantasm's 30th anniversary. Otherwise, we're going to cold call people. on the pod. We're just gonna ask you.
We're just gonna call random people. It's not even gonna be people we know.
Yeah, just put in a bunch of numbers.
Open up.
I'll get my client list from work. Who just have you call them?
Hi, sir. This is John Smith calling from the National Register.
John Smith.
Have you ever watched Batman: Mask of the Phantasm?
But anyway,
that's your homework for this week, everybody. He said it again, but just reiterate: watch Batman: Mask of the Phantasm. It's available for streaming on HBO Max.
It is.
You can buy it on 4K if you're so inclined. 30th
anniversary 4K. The
30th, 40th. Yep. That was gibberish.
30th, 40th.
Gibberish.
I've already watched it with Julia last weekend.
Okay. I'm going to be watching it with Emily this week.
Great. Can't wait to hear her thoughts. And can't wait to share Julia's. Yeah. We're not fucking around, guys. Send us some stuff.
We're not fucking around. I'm not fucking leaving.
This is a very important podcast for me. It might be my magnum opus, honestly. I'm going to put the most work I've ever put anything into the show, into that pod.
I'm so excited. That's
yeah,
going to be awesome.
I'm very passionate about this show, and even more so, I'm very passionate about that movie, which I think is fantastic. I'll go ahead and tip my hand that way, but I think everybody already knows that. Especially if you listen to our comic book movies ranked episode of Radiovania. So anyway, thank you guys for listening. Be on the lookout for future installments of Radiovania and Radiovision. Check us out on the feeds on social. So Threads and Instagram, Radiovania Show, and go to radiovania.com or YouTube and search Radiovania for our content. Zach, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having
me. There's no one I'd rather eject myself out of the Batmobile with than you.
There's no one I'd rather autopilot like a Batmobile mall grocery cart with a stick in the back.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you guys for listening. See us next time. Same Bat Podcast feed, same Bat Podcast. Good night.
Good night.
All right.